I think he should stand up while learning.
Really, we're supposed to stand. That's, you're saying a good point. That maker, I did when you learn Torah, you're supposed to stand. It's only because neskadim, the chulshas hadar, the weakness of the way we sit. You're saying a very good point. That was the day when who was the new Rashi they appointed? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Yeah. When he came in, so they added to the Beis Medrash 400 chairs.
Benches.
Okay, what's the pshat? So the Yitzhakah said that until it wasn't that they added new students. It's that the old students wanted to sit down. No, I'm not joking. That until that point in time, they learned Torah standing.
Right, yeah.
Standing. Because that's the way Torah was, by Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayamdu Tach, they stood. They stood. They gave, the Torah was given in Yiddish, and they were standing.
More Hungarian.
Okay, they were standing. So the way, the proper way to learn Torah is, you know, this always drives me crazy. I can't. The Hasidim, you know, Hasidim, when they learn with their hats,
right.
and their whatever they call it. The what?
Oh, that's
Litvish. The Bekishes, the Hasidim, they learn wearing their hats, and the Litvaks, you take off your hat, your jacket, you take off your shirt.
you roll up your sleeve.
And you roll up your sleeves and you drink coffee.
And it's the cult of the Litvak in the Varma Chosid.
It's very interesting. They Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, when they learn with a at least it's supposed to be, a Roimimus, a Yiras Haroimimus. When you learn a Daf Gemara, you learn wearing your clothing, you very seriously.
Yeah, those have like a light bathrobe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you don't learn without a jacket, right. Which by a Litvak is ridiculous. Right. Going to the basement, going where no one wears a jacket. No, there's no Bagol Hannibal and their 400 boys there. No one's wearing a jacket. Right. And it comes from originally when you learn standing. When you learn Torah, you have to learn the Yiras Haroimimus. So today, no one's going to stand. That the Gemara already says that we don't do it anymore. But at least there should be a certain presence of Yira when a person learns. All right, in any event, let's go back.
I used to think that it had to do with the fact is they didn't have Svarim. They had a Sefer Torah open.
They sat around.
That's the difference.
Could be. You're saying the sanctity of the Sefer Torah demanded,
right, yeah,
that they have more Yira. All right, I hear what you're saying.
That was just
all right, let's review it, to recap. Yesterday, we were learning over this Kodesh, so you mentioned something very fascinating, that in the history of the printed Svarim, according to the computer, there have only been, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4 Svarim that were ever published on this topic of sitting and standing. Gesundheit, 750 years ago, there was a thing called Minig Toiv. About 200 years ago, there was a Sefer called Beis Vad. And then there was another kuntres not that long ago called the Ela Ya'amdu. And the fourth Sefer was published 5 years ago, 6 years ago, called Yisroel B'mamodim, which has two volumes, total of 1,200 pages. I have no idea what it says there. I get dizzy even thinking about it. So here we have a little kuntres that has probably 20 pages, 30 pages, not too much here. A very small kuntres that summarizes everything from these four svarim. We learned some basic yisoidas yesterday. Number one, that generally speaking, when you do a mitzvah, birchas hamitzvah is done standing. We learned another yisoid that birchas hanenin, when you make a bracha to before you derive benefit, enjoyment, you make the bracha sitting. We quoted, there's one of the main sources, Tafyomi also yesterday, the sugya of the Omer. It says the word mehechel mehochel chermesh bakoma al tikri bakoma elokoma. So Chazal is that when the Omer somehow that when we relate to the Suyas Omer, because it says in the pasuk the word koma, there are many words the Torah could have used to describe grain, bar, there is dogon. I don't know all the words, but there are many words that could have been used to describe grain. The fact that Torah chose the word comma, standing ears of grain, Chazal darshin that al tikri comma ela koma, that the mitzvah should be done standing, and by extension, when we recite Sfiras HaOmer, we are very makbid that we recite it in a standing position. And then we went even further that since it says by Sfiras HaOmer the word lochem, any mitzvah where the word lochem appears, the minhag is to stand like tzitzis. It says v'yasu lochem, like tkiyas shofar yom teruah yihye lochem, by lulav and esrog lukachtem lochem, by milo himo lochem, kiddush levon ha-chodesh hazeh lochem. Kiddush levon is not exactly, it's not exactly a kiddush ha-chodesh, but it's a zecher, there is a relationship, and v'chulu v'chulu, there are other examples. Okay, let me give you, let's discuss another rule. Another rule is, let's talk about korbanos. This is a very big topic, and I want to bring up Kiddush. This is a little bit, but before we get to the actual, we're going to something with davening. We recite every day korbanos. We should be saying every single day korbanos. Question is, should we stand when we recite korbanos? Or are we allowed to sit? So the arguments on the one hand, there is a halach, it's in the Torah, la'amod l'shores. When the Kohanim do the four avoidos of Hakravas HaKorbanos, which include Shechita, Kabbalah, Holoch, and Zrika, these four things must be done in a standing position. It's a Gzeres HaKosef, La'amod L'Shores. When we daven, the truth is the whole davening, according to one opinion, is corresponding to the Korbanos, is when the Shalma Fodim Sifosein. Okay, not exactly. Yes, no, b'chula, but you know, one end it does correspond. However, when we recite the actual psukim of the korbanos before davening, before psukim zimra, of the tamid shel shachar and the ezel mekoymon and other psukim that we recite, is should we feel an obligation to stand? Because since now we are actually reading the psukim, especially the carbon, let's say the carbon tamid, or let's say mizmar l'soida. When we recite Mizmor L'Soda in the middle of Psukim Zimra, this Mizmor corresponds to the Karbon Toido. And that's why it corresponds to the Karbon Toido to such a degree, that's why we do not say it on Shabbos, because you cannot bring a private Karbon Toido on Shabbos. And that's why we do not say it on Pesach, Chol Moed. And that's why we do not say it on Erev Pesach, because since the Karbon Toido has Chometz, you don't bring the Karbon Toida on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and you don't bring the Karbon Toida on Erev Pesach, because you're limited in how long you can eat the breads of Chometz, so it was not offered. So we see that we take into account that this is actually the offering of a Karbon, equivalent to the offering of a Karbon, and since this cannot be offered today, on this day, and it was not offered on that day, so therefore we don't even bother reciting the Mizmah that corresponds to the Karbon Toida. And so how much more so when we recite before davening the Parshas HaTamid. Parshas HaTamid, Tzaves B'nei Yisrael, V'yamaratalim is Kabri Lachmi, Adam Rosh Chodesh, when you recite the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh before davening, these are actual psukim of Karbanos. So should we recite these psukim in a standing position? So the truth is there are Chilukei Deos. Some say you should. Most of us do not. Most people, halavai, we should say the Karbanos, and those who do say the Karbanos, you do not see people that are saying the Karbanos, you do not see them standing, most people sit. However, there is one difference, and this is a very interesting concept. One of the reasons why we don't is because most of us are Yisraelim, and a Yisrael is not permitted to do the Avodah, maybe Shechit or Ksher Bazar, but a Yisrael is not permitted to do the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and the Zrika. So, Adarava, if we were to stand, if a Yisroel were to stand when he would recite the psukim of the Korbanos, it would almost appear as if the Yisroel is imagining that if there was a Beis HaMikdash, he himself would be doing the avoda, which is not proper. So therefore, Adarava, maybe you can make an argument that the davening is connected to the Korbanos that are brought by the Kohanim, but we, Yisraelim, we cannot do the Avodah, so we have to sit. There is a Nafkamina though. What is a Nafkamina? What about the Kohanim? And this gets very interesting. Yeah. So there are poskim that differentiate between Kohanim and Yisraelim and Levim as well. A Kohen, indeed, perhaps has more of a requirement to stand when he recites Korbanos before davening. Being that he, if there was a Beis HaMikdash, he indeed would be entitled to participate in the bring of the Korbanos, a Kohen should show, yeah, you know, if I was around, I would indeed be the one that would recite, that would do the Avodah. So the poskim here, at least in this country, and I saw this elsewhere as well, they differentiate between a Kohen versus a Yisrael and a Levi. That when during Korbanos, a Yisrael does not have to stand in Shachris. Because even though it's true, it's connected to the Korbanos, but the Yisrael is not allowed to bring the Korbanos. He sends their representatives. No difference. I didn't see any difference.
You can bring a
car. You can get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but if you're in Bavel, you can say as many Korbanos as you want. You
get on a Concorde or the equivalent of a Concorde. Rosh just produced a new device. They can go around the world very quickly.
The Mamados.
Yisrael
over there.
It's called the Maimod. It's called the Maimod. The word, I didn't think about that. I didn't see the mention over here. Bizman is that there are no Mamodas. Bizman is that we don't do Mamodas. Bizman should basically
become. It's equivalent to the carbon, right?
They came to the Mispalo. They came there. They were outside. They were in the Ezra Snoshim, it says, and they were there. They were rotated. They didn't go wherever. They were rotated there to be mispalel that Hashem should accept the korbanos. But they didn't actually bring the korbanos. When we recite korbanos in the morning, we are reciting the psukim of the actual bringing of the korbanos. We're not just being mispalel that Hashem should accept the korbanos. We are reflecting upon the actual ezel mekayim and shel zvachim. That was a mishnayis. But the only psukim that we recite is the korban tamid. And in Rosh Chodesh, we recite the Rosh Chodesh. But when we go through a Zil Mekoyim and Shol Tzvachim, and Abai Havim, Asad, 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 we go to the Seder HaAvodah, we are actually describing the Seder HaAvodah, the order of the Avodah. The Mamodos, I don't think they were describing, they were being mispalo, they were saying different parts of different Mizmorim, to be mispalo that Hashem should accept the Avodah of the Kohanim. Okay, here what you're saying. It's a good point. Now here's another very interesting thing, and that is the Shir Shel Yoim. When davening is over, Hayoim Yoim Shlishi B'Shabbos. Don't you love Tuesdays? When you wake up, a short Yom. Still looking at that. The only thing you think about. Oh, today is Tuesday. Baruch Hashem. There's no laning. There's no v'hurachum. Oy gevald. V'hurachum. It's like a nightmare. You wake up Monday morning. They said that most people in America have heart attacks on Mondays. It's a fact. So you ask a firm guy, why do they have a Monday? Because he wakes up in the morning, v'hurachum. Okay, they spend the goyim, they say, go back to work. It's the work day, first day of work. V'hurachum. Okay, but Tuesday is a short yom, so do you stand for the recital of the yom? So get a load of this. It says here, in this kuntres, that the only ones that really have an obligation or should stand are the Levim. Okay, so this is a very fascinating point. When it comes to korbanos, kohanim, not everyone agrees to this, but there are those who say that kohanim should or may make an extra effort to stand for korbanos, because if there was a mikdash today, they would be entitled to actually bring the korban. And when you come to the Shir Shel Yoim, the minhag ha'olam is to stand. Is it because you're mechuyev to stand? It's not so clear if you're mechuyev to stand. For the reason of the, a lot of things that we stand for is just because we're anyway standing. Aleinu, you're supposed to, there's a hakpada to stand for aleinu. There is such a thing. Why? We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll figure out why. You have to bow. Vanachnu koyin. The kaddish before. But no, but it's even if there's not going to be a kaddish. Right, so once you're already standing, so you don't sit down already. Aleinu, but it seems even. But nafka means if you're alone, if you're at home, you're not davening with a minyan, you're davening b'yachidus. Is there a requirement if you're davening b'yachidus to stand for aleinu? During Corona lockdown, all of these things became big issues. What exactly do you have to stand for? What are you standing for? Why do we stand for aleinu? Is it because since we just always said kaddish shalem, so they have kaddish tiskabel. So Mela, once we're standing, we're not going to sit down. And there's going to be another Kaddish, as Rav Kalman said, well, maybe the reason why we are standing for Aleinu is because, no, you're mechuyev to stand for Aleinu in its own right. And that appears to be correct. Number one, you know, it says, v'anachnu koirim u'mishtacha v'im u'maydim. You can't bow unless you're standing. So then what about Al-Kein Nekavah, l'chashem al-Kainu? Who says you have to stand for that? maybe that there's no need to stand for, because once already you said you did the Vanach Nukardim, you finished that portion, now maybe you can sit down for Alkein the Kavalucha.
Taking off your towels and tefillin already.
You could, well, so it seems not. It seems that there's a hakpada that the minhag olam is to stand for Aleinu in its own right from beginning to end. What about the Yom? The Yom doesn't say anywhere what to do about the Yom. The minhag olam is to stand for the Yom, and why? Is it because you have already been sitting, not been standing? And it says here, I have to go find you exact sources, what it says is that, but the Levim, people who are a Levi, your Mayor Appeldorf is a Levi, is supposed to stand for
what
the Shir. What? What are all the Yomim? No, that's not the Shir. That's just a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah. That's a Mishnah. That just tells you what they said, but that's a Mishnah. That's not a Mizma. That's not the Shir is Mizma Shil Yom HaShabbos. At the end of davening, we say the Yom. If the Levim was the Mikdash and they were Levim, the Levim would be standing on the Duchen and they would be singing that Mizmor. Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. So just like a Kohen is encouraged, if he wants to stand for Korbanos, a Levi is encouraged to stand for the Shir Shel Yom. And everyone else, Me'ikar Hadin, you can sit down. There's no need to, Me'ikar Hadin, according to many, there's really no need to stand for the Shir Shel Yom. And nafgamina would be, I would assume, if you're davening, be yechidus. If you're davening in shul, everyone already this kaddish, like you said before and after, and it has happened so fast, you can't even blink. So the melee, you end up standing. You think of your tilm the next minute, that's the way it happens. But at home, if mikra didn't, why can't you actually sit down? Okay, now there's another you said I want to bring out. What?
He can't skip anything. He can't have machshavas pickle.
Machshavas pickle, when no one...
No, when he said,
only you would ask that question.
If he's thinking of the carbon.
So, okay, you're right. It's not a good idea that when you say the Tomit Shal Shach, I have to be Machashay, that I'm gonna do the Zrika Saddam al Manas to eat the Manas to do the Haktorah. Chutz l'zman. I agree with you.
I agree with
you. It's true. You have to what you're saying.
Know what you're saying.
You should not be pickled. 100%. No, you're right. 100%. If you're actually bringing the carbon, it should be done kedas uchadin. 100%. Why would you want to sabotage the Tamid Shal Shach of Klal Yisrael? If the Kohen is davening and saying the Tamid Shal Shach, and he's imagining that if there was a Mikdash, he would be the representative of Klal Yisrael, you're right. So what, are you going to sabotage the carbon by having Machsheves Pigel? I'm shechting it L'Shem Carbon Pesach. I'm shechting L'Shem Carbon Osham. I'm shechting Chutz L'Chavon, Chutz L'Zman, Chutz L'Makamo. Absolutely, you should do it the correct way.
That's private.
So when we say the Kurbanos, we say the Kurbanos in the Mishnah, when you recite the Mishnayis and you say Yiratzon Kilu Hikrafti Chatos, so it doesn't mean literally for a Yisrael. It means you would present the animal to the Kohen. But the Kohen is the one that actually does the service. Now, when the Kohen recites those things, should he? Those are not actually psukim. Those are. And he says that some Kohanim stand for that also, because those are. It's the actual record in the Mishnayos, at least, of how the Kurbanos are to be offered. Yes. Okay. So different opinions. You don't see people standing. You have to always follow them in the minute, because you don't see people standing for Kurbanos. Like we said, Mizmor L'Soida, the meaning though is to stand. Okay, Mizmor L'Soida, I was taught as a child that Mizmor L'Soida, you get up. Okay, Mizmor L'Soida, you do stand, because Mizmor L'Soida corresponds to the carbon Toda. And a carbon, you stand. So we should say only the one that should stand should be the Kohen. Only he brings, not the Yisrael. I don't know, for some reason, we all, at least we all say, I'll say what it says over here. Kach mehagin, mizmal, I really hear what it says over here. It's the Ber Hetev. The Mishnah Brura and the Mishnah Chavetz Chaim put on every page of Mishnah Brura the Be'er Hetev. And the Be'er Hetev says explicitly that one is required to stand when he recites Mizmor L'Soida. Now, what that will get to, I'll come to that. I just want to bring up the Korban. I want to go through some Yesodas. The Chidah, we learned the Chidah, he was a Svardi, from the big Svardim. He says, no, you don't have to stand. From Mizmor L'Soida, you can sit. Okay, and the Shari Tshuva also seems to say that you can sit. The Gra, Maseraf, the Gra Bechlal held that you should sit the whole davening. The Gra, you do not stand for Mizmor L'Soda, and of Chaim Kidievsky, that it's not a right because there is Yisrael. The Yesh, Oim Sheyesh, L'Omro, B'Yeshiva, Das, some say Yisrael. Okay, everything over here, you have many opinions. All I can say is, I think in the monks, where we grew up over here in America, on Chutz L'Yaretz, we don't follow Minagron, and don't, it's the Meshagas to tell me you follow Minagron. No one follows Minagron, only in Yerushalayim, and even Chaim Berlin, they're very selective. It's very selective what they follow. They don't follow the vast majority of things they do not follow, but we don't follow Minagron in Chutz L'Yaretz, and therefore the Minag is certainly to stand for Mizmor L'Soda, and the primary reason being that it corresponds to a carbon, and when you bring a carbon, you stand. La'amod l'sharis. Okay, we'll come to this another day. I want to tell you one or two more you say this.
They
sorry?
They don't stand by Mizmor.
Who doesn't stand?
Svar,
right. I'm talking about Ashkenaz. I'm sorry, Minig Ashkenaz. Svar does not stand, correct. You don't stand, but Minig Ashkenaz...
Svar.
Oh, Nusach Svar.
Nusach.
I don't know. Nusach Svar don't stand?
All the
okay. All right, okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to argue. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm very limited in where I've been, what I've seen. Okay, now let's discuss another Yisrael. I want to bring out one more Yisrael. Okay, I'm very sorry. There are many minhagim. You cannot generalize. There are many minhagim. You have to know the history of every shul. Every shul has a history, has makoros. You know, the Young Israel movement, all of the Young Israels in the early days, not today, it's a hefkeris, but there was a hakpada. They had a nusach. They had a standardized nusach. It was German nusach of the rules of davening. And every, you go in any Young Israel, they did the same thing. The Young Israels all did the same thing. There was a standard nusach. Where it came from, I don't know all the details. Today, obviously, things have changed. Probably even Young Israel said a davar nusach svar. I wouldn't be surprised. But that's not the way it used to be. It used to be standard. Okay, next year, so this is what I like very, very much. If you look very carefully in the words of Chazal, and you look carefully in the words of even the Achronim, even what it says in the Ramah, you should know, is very big into teaching the laws of when you are supposed to stand. The Ramah, whenever he gets a chance, he chaps you, and he says, you're supposed to stand. He does that. The Ramah, more so than any of the other, so to speak, modern Paiskim, he tells you when to stand, and it's very interesting when you study this topic. Sometimes it says the word Amida, and sometimes it says the word Kima. What is the difference between the word Amida and the word Kima? So you can say different things. So there's different mahalchim. Some Amida means you stand, stay put. You stay put. Even it might even mean keeping your feet together. Don't even move one inch. Don't move one inch. When we daven the Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to be Amida. You don't move. You keep your feet together. You stay in one location. Kima just means you should be standing. You want to walk around? You have ADHD. You have ADHD? Okay. Walk around the shul. Go in our coffers. But you're supposed to, but you don't have to stand in one location. But you should be in an upright, vertical position. But it does not mean you have to be in one precise location. Another interesting difference is, it's not necessarily true. You always have to remain standing. It's almost as if someone walks into a room, a Talmud Chacham walks into a room, or an Azakin walks into a room. What do? You stand, or you remain standing. So I mean, there are rules. There are rules that until the Talmud Chacham, there are different rules. And for someone, depending on who they are, sometimes you have to wait until the person passes. Sometimes you do not. The person walks in, you stand up, and then you, as a display of respect, and then you sit down. Sometimes every situation is different, but the common denominator is kima is not meant to be a position that you remain in. Rather, the standing up is an expression of showing respect, And once that has been achieved, you can sit down. You can sit down. So there are certain parts of davening you have to analyze. Is it required that you remain standing for the entire portion of that davening? Or is it just enough that when you come to this point of davening, stand up in respect, and then you can sit down and finish saying the rest of the davening? Okay, when they take out the Sefer Torah, when they take out the Sefer from the Aron, so when they open up and they take it out, you have to stand. Why are you standing? Why are you standing? Respect. You give kavod. Do you have to remain standing the entire time the Sefer Torah is in motion until it reaches the Bima? Yes.
If it's in motion.
It's in motion. Let's say it stops. Let's say it's no longer in motion. It stops. Then the shatz is saying Brich Shmei. They're singing Be'anoroch. It's right. They're singing for a very long time. And the moshuls when they're singing Be'anoroch is the same. They're still inside the Aron HaKodesh, which is not necessarily the correct way to do it. The correct thing to really do, Rav Moshe says, is to take out the Sefer Torah and to hold the Sefer Torah when you say Brich Shmei. Is that what it says in the article sitting in the English, the Hebrew? I think the correct way is you're supposed to like take out open the Aron and you hold it. You take it out right away, if I'm not mistaken. So, but sometimes they make mistakes, whatever it is. So if the Sefer Torah is not emotional, you mechuyev to recite Brich Shmei Vayihi Ben Sor in a standing position, or is it only because you're taking out the Sefer Torah? Okay, so I don't know. This is something to keep in mind. We'll go through some things. Maybe we'll come across a good example. But there are two terms, and the two terms are not the same. Right. There's a term called Amida, and there is a term called Kima. And there is a discussion as to define the difference between them. A simple difference between them is Amida means you have to remain standing, plus you have to remain in one position. Kiddusha. When a person says, we say Nikadesh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You're not supposed to be walking around. You're supposed to be standing, and not just standing. You're supposed to be standing in one location with your feet together. Nitzava. We don't really have the word nitzava in the same place. Okay, but that's like Amida. That was saying is Amida. Kima simply just means to be erect, to be vertical. But you don't have to stay in one position. You can walk around. And then there's another idea. Is it just the expression? Is it just a way of something? You come to a section of davening, you stand to show your respect, and then you can sit down. Just like we do many things in davening with our hands. When you come to certain parts of davening, you touch your tefillin. You don't have to keep your hand on your tefillin the entire davening. At certain points of davening, you touch your tefillin, and that's it. You take your tzitzis for a moment, and you hold your tzitzis, and when you finish, you let go. You don't have to do these things. These things are done permanently. There are many. There are certain types of actions that we take during davening. You give tzedakah. In minhagim, when you come to certain parts of davening, you give tzedakah. You do something in order to either demonstrate respect or to fulfill what it says in the nusach, or to arouse yourself. But it's not meant to be a new state of being. When you stand during davening, is it because that this portion of the text must be said standing? Or the reason, the goal is not that the text should be said in a state of standing. The goal is to show respect, to get up for a moment. Once I've done that, I'm Yotze. And possibly a lot of the things that we have disagreements between, you know, you find different opinions. Some, well, this I stand, this I don't stand. It's very possible that some of these sections were never really meant to be said standing. What was meant is that when you come to this portion, you should stand out of respect. And then you sit down.
So
and
by Eleno, you can stand up, say Eleno, and sit down.
No, it doesn't seem so.
You have to wait for everybody to
sit. It doesn't seem so. That's not the minute. The minute of Eleno is Eleno, you remain standing the entire time.
Until
the very end. I'm assuming this because Eleno represents Malchus. When you declare Hashem as the king of the world, as that demands, if you're declaring Hashem to be the Melech, and you are the servant, the way you acknowledge Hashem is the Melech is you stand. That is not just respect. There are portions of davening that you're doing out of honor, or out of you arousing yourself. That just needs emotion. I just want to give you another, this is very important. I once heard this from a Pesek, and I don't remember, this really shook me up, and I don't remember where I heard this from. And I told this to people, and they didn't like what I said. But I really believe it's very, very true. You go to a shir. Let's say you go to a daf yom shir. You go to a rav is giving giving a drush of a halacha shir to mincha, before mincha in shul. And the rav is sitting, and he's giving a shir. Let's say there are 20 people listening to the shir. And in walks a Talmud Chacham, a noted Talmud Chacham, or let's say a Zokin, someone who's 80 years old. So you see them, and the door is behind the Rav. So the Rav is sitting in the front, and there are 20 people listening to the Rav. And in walks, let's say, a person who's 80 years old. He walks in the middle of the shir, right smack in the middle of the shir, he walks in, and the door is behind the Rav's back, and he walks in. So there are people, they're very religious people. They Zokin, the Nei Seva Takum. The Adar to Pnei Zokin. Zokin, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's over 70 years old. There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. A mitzvah d'oraisa. You mean Makayim, Moshe Michud, Kudosh Abrichu. A mitzvah d'oraisa to stand up and to give to Makayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. So I remember I heard this. It says that's totally wrong. In fact, it's usher to stand up. There's a person giving a share. There's a Talmud Chacham giving a share. There is a schedule. The shir was called for this time. He's giving the shir. People are listening very carefully. Someone comes in late. He comes in late. He's a half an hour late. He broke the rules. He's now, by coming in late, he's disturbing the shir. He's disturbing the shir. Everyone, a mitzvah d'oraisa to stand to give cover to him. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'oraisa of giving cover is when you're just sitting around on the park bench and you're doing nothing, and you're listening to the radio, and as Zokin walks by, you give him respect. If you are engaged in a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and there was a time set when the shir will begin for everyone to come together, and now this person came late and is breaking the rules, he is disturbing. He is in violation. Now, you'll say, what do you want? He's a Zokin, he's not well, and he came to Mincha, you know all this. You're right, so there's nothing wrong. But by you standing up and drawing attention, look, Zokin is here. I'm going to be the religious person here in this room. I'm going to show all you guys, you bunch of Amoratsim, look, the Adar to Bnei Zokin, excuse me, the rabbi prepared a shir. You're engaging in Talmud Torah. For you now to stand up and draw attention, that is crooked. That is a crooked approach to discipline the Talmud Torah. It's a corruption of halacha.
And perhaps the Talmud Chacham would be upset at having disturbed the shir.
No, so you know, of course, in 90% of these cases, the Talmud, the one who's giving the shir himself, stands up.
Yeah.
And stands up. Okay, so you cannot generalize. This is something which I think very often it's, what a cover, you know, because most shiurim today, we live in a world today where nothing is formal. Everything today is informal. Nothing today has any value anyway. The shiur anyway is just entertainment most of the time, right? It's just you know, jokes and entertainment, and there's kugel, and there's kishka, and there's food. You're right. This is something you cannot generalize. Absolutely. So, but every once in a while, rarely, occasionally, there's an event, and it's serious. It's serious. And the rabbi who's giving the shir doesn't notice that a person, 90-year-old man, came in behind him. Happens. And people are really paying attention and listening to the shir. And now, for one person in the shir to say, I know better than everyone else, I'm going to be mekayim a mitzvah deraisa of yadar to b'nei zokein, he's wrong. There's no mitzvah of yadar to b'nei zokein. If the shir was called for this time, and this was the plan, and you're being oisek in Talmud Torah Derabin, the person who came in late, the world, you can't hold everyone hostage to stop what you're doing. Now be mekayim this mitzvah, give me cover. And by one person standing up, you confuse everyone else in the shir. That is wrong. Now, if the rabbi himself stands up And if anyway it's a lightweight shear, and you know everyone anyway is a give and take, okay, that's a different story. But the concept of giving, standing up to give kavod is something you have to take very carefully. And where is there a very real mountain? I see this all the time. During davening. During davening. You're davening shachris. You're in the middle of birchos kriyashma. Okay, you're up to the bracha, you're up to a havarab. And let's say there's and the shul, you know, everything is moving very, it's a dignified davening. And then guess what? Someone comes, a big Rosh Hashiva walks in the middle of a havarab. Whether he walks in because he's late for davening, whether he walks in because he needs a sefer, he davened early, he needs the sefer, he needs to get something, and he walks in the middle of davening. That's wrong. You have no obligation whatsoever to stand up for a person who is invading your territory. If you're davening shachris, you're davening the sukkah de zimra, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the minyan is called for this time, and there is a surah of a davening taking place. Not every time, not every shul does it look like you're davening. It's some shuls, it's just a zoo. But sometimes, every once in a while, you come to a place where it's serious. There's a serious assembly. People have come together. They're davening shachris. They're at a point in time in the davening where it's serious. And then walks in someone, an elderly man, and people get up. It's wrong. It's wrong. He has invaded your territory. This is a no-fly zone.
He might be embarrassing him also.
You're not embarrassing him.
No, he might be embarrassing. What's it?
Don't worry. Let's discuss the case where he's not being, he's not embarrassed.
I think I saw it in Mir Yushalayim. I was told that up by the Mizrach wall, where the Rosh Hashiva is, there's a door there. And if they ever came, in, it was the middle of whatever, they wouldn't walk through the whole base measures.
Okay, that's another, that's okay.
They get ready to get up.
Mara talks about
and they
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about in the middle of davening. This is people make this mistake. They think that someone chashev comes in,
stop.
The whole world stops for them. That's incorrect.
Right.
There is when something is taking place and it's a planned event, no one has a right to disturb that assembly. And there's no din of honor in that situation. Okay, now let's discuss a couple of examples. They would stand Allah Am Kodesh. Now is not the time. Don't go and violate other people's space.
Nobody told the collective.
What about if you're middle of davening and someone comes to take out the
seat? See, that's a very interesting point. You're making a very good point. The minute
happens a lot.
I don't know what to say. Because they're not supposed. You if you're davening to Hashem and someone now is coming and taking the same Torah, it's really the same thing. You're not really, I don't know. You have to. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you're doing.
I don't know what
to
say.
When you make the middle of Kriya Shema, you're saying Shema, and the next minute comes in to return or to take out a second Torah.
Yeah.
It's not so simple.
When you put on your talis in the morning, you say Le'esate. It doesn't say Le'mishas talis. It says Le'esate. You're supposed to wrap yourself. What is the main mitzvah? Is when you wrap yourself in the talis, you cover your eyes and your lips. It's to tell you that this is the time to lock out everything around you. You're going to daven now. Disregard whatever else is going on in the world.
Another rule, this is the Chakira. Let's talk about laning the Megillah. The one who lanes the Megillah stands. Why does he stand when he lanes the Megillah?
Cover that
Sibra. Is that the only reason why? Maybe when you lane the Megillah, you are supposed to stand. If that would be the case, why then is everyone else sitting? So first of all, you should know it's not so simple that everyone should be sitting. There are opinions that hold that during Kriya Satoira, there's a general sugya. During Kriya Satoira, the one who lanes stands. Why does the one who lanes stands? So is it because Torah was given be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'v'zeya? Laning the Torah is really a reenactment of Matan Torah. It's a reenactment. And that is why, is that the reason why the Baal Kriya stands? Some say yes. Some say no, that's not the reason. It's not a real, it's not a mamish reenactment. The only reason why he stands is Kavod HaTzibur. It's to give honor when you do something for an assembly out of derech eretz for the tzibur yistir, but not because it's a reenactment of Matan Torah. L'may nafkemina, do the people in the audience have to stand? If you're going to say that really this is not a reenactment, we're learning Torah, that what is Kriyas HaTorah? Is Kriyas HaTorah a reenactment of Matan Torah, or is Kriyas HaTorah Talmud Torah Derabim, nothing more than the study of Torah in public? If it's nothing more than Talmud Torah Derabim, really everyone should be sitting. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the ideal thing is for the people in the audience should sit. Okay, the Gro also sat. The Gro sat. The Gro himself sat. Everyone should be sitting in the Beis HaKnesses. This is nothing more than Talmud Torah Derabim. When you learn Torah, you sit. We don't stand today when we learn Torah. Is that what Kriyas HaTorah is? Or maybe Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Matan Torah. The Baal Kriya is Moshe Rabbeinu. The one who lanes is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Oyle, the one who gets the Aliyah, is Klal Yisrael, a representative of Klal Yisrael. And the Gabai is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a reenactment. Now, if it's a reenactment, everyone should be standing. Everyone in the tzibur should be standing. So what is it? So let's make believe it's a reenactment of Matan Torah. So how come, why then doesn't everyone in the tzibur have an obligation to stand? Why not? So the answer is, there's a new principle, which is a very big dilemma. When we apply the rule of Shomea Ke'oine, how far does it go? When we come to Shul, we hear someone read the Torah, really we should be reading the Torah. The reason why we yoytzei is with the principle of shomea, I listening, it's equivalent to actually reciting the psukim. How far does shomea ka'oine go? Does it only achieve the words, or does it also achieve an equivalence of any other physical action that is being done by the one that is fulfilling our obligation? On Purim, many of us have the custom that when we come to the Aseres Bnei Haman, the Shliach Tzibur, the Shatz, the Baal Kriya stops, and everyone says on their own the Aseres Bnei Haman in one neshima, in one breath. Why? Why can't we just listen to the Baal Kriya? And the answer is the Baal Kriya can only be moitzi you the words, but the Baal Kriya cannot be moitzi you on the neshima achas. There's a requirement to say the 10 sons of Haman in one breath. So his one breath cannot fulfill your obligation to say the 10 sons of Haman in one breath. The din of Shemei Ka'oine only achieves that if he said the names, it is as if I have said the names. But it does not achieve the equivalence of as if I said the names in one breath. To achieve one breath, you have to do it yourself.
Is that a requirement?
Not a requirement. It's not ma'akif.
I think what we say is because he's saying in the Shema, and we might not hear.
No, that's not the reason.
Word,
no.
And therefore we
that's a perk, but that's not the real reason. That he's not a good Baal Kriya.
Not that he's a good Baal Kriya.
No,
that
he's
hard to hear.
Then he's not a good Baal Kriya. He's not responsible. That's not the way it's supposed to be. He's not a good Baal Kriya. A good Baal Kriya, they say every single word loud and clear in one breath. The reason, the primary reason why many shuls, not every shul, why they have a custom where the Baal Kriya first stops and the people in the audience, they say it themselves, is because the Baal Kriya cannot be moitzi the listeners with nishima achas. The most the Baal Kriya can achieve with the rules of Shmei Ka'oine is his recital is as if you have actually said the words. And that's it. That's where it starts and stops. L'may nafkamina, if the Baal Kriya is standing and you're being yoytze with listening to the Baal Kriya, does that mean it's as if you also stood? How far does Shomea Ko'ine go? Does it only go to the degree of the words, or does it also achieve the method in which those words were said? If the Baal Kriya was standing, so when I fulfill my obligation by listening, it's as if I listened to the. By listening, it's as if I said those words standing. Since the
but
one that was
moitzi
me.
When you say, Yeshushan, Tzolo, Samecha, the four psukim.
Yeah, that's a minute. We're citing those words.
But if you're saying it, you're not relying on the about.
No, no, you don't have to. The truth is, you don't have to say it. If you listen to him, say, tell, that's only a minute. The reason why we say those four psukim is only a minute.
So the only one that's not a minute is the Aseres B'nai Haman?
Because that's Neshim Achas. That's Neshim Achas. Neshim Achas is not Ba'akev. And many say that, many won't even say that the din of Shomea Ka'ayna allows you even to achieve Neshima Achas. If the Baal Kriya said the words B'Neshima Achas, it is as if you said those words B'Neshima Achas. If you want to apply that principle there, you can say the same thing when it comes to Kriya Satoira. If the Baal Kriya was standing, it's as if I also stood. So then you can say that when you come to shul and they lay in the Torah, it is a reenactment of Matan Torah. And Matan Torah, the proper way to reenact Matan Torah is to stand. So why then is everyone sitting? We are relying upon the Baal Kriya. When the Baal Kriya reads the words, it's as if we read those words. And being that the Baal Kriya read the words standing, it is as if we stood also.
Which would make it easier for someone in a wheelchair who can make the bracha sitting.
That a person in a wheelchair is potter. He's that doesn't make a difference. Whatever you want to say, he's exempt. The minig is that the person can, even the Baal Kriya b'dievet can sit. We believe it or not. Even if there's no one in the shul, can you imagine, there's no one in the shul can lay except for a person who is rachmano that's on the wheelchair. He can be the Baal Kriya sitting down.
That's not standing.
That's standing. It's not. Well, can't say it's standing. It's not. The standing is not ma'akev. It's not ma'akev. Davening. That's already not so simple. Davening. The shliach tzibur cannot stand. If the shliach tzibur cannot stand, then already that's much much worse. Because tefillah, the tzura of prayer, is to stand. Now I know you'll tell me that on Yom Kippurim there are many rebbes that sit. They're only supposed to sit for the non-critical sections of the davening.
Right.
For avos, the first three brachos, the last three brachos, they must stand.
They sit by some of the piyutim.
They sit by the piyutim, that they can sit for. But by the critical portions of davening, they are required, if they cannot stand, they should not be the Baal Tefillah. There's no excuse anywhere in Halacha that a Baal Tefillah, from Musaf, any tefillah, that he can sit from Borcha from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. That's unacceptable. Many Baal Tefillah, they do sit a nice chunk of the davening, but not for the Ikarim, not for the parts of davening that are Ma'akev. Okay, so that's the big dilemma when it comes to standing. There are portions of the davening that we need to stand for. So a person cannot stand. He's going to be yotze his obligation with Shemea Ko'ine. Does Shemea Ko'ine also capture the position of the shaliach, so that the mishaleach, the people who are fulfilling their obligation, it's as if they also were standing? This is a dilemma that has no answer. Some say yes, some say not. And a nafka mina is when it comes to Kriya Satorah. If you want to go to the Kriya Satorah, it's a din of Matan Torah. It's Matan Torah. It's a reenactment. Matan Torah was done how? Standing. If it was done standing, so the people, everyone in the shul has to stand. So how come people are not standing? The yoitz is standing with Shemeya Ke'oine. If the shatz, the shlich tzibur, the Baal Kriya, is standing, it's as if I stood, because anyway I'm listening to him recite the words. If you disagree with that principle, no such thing, then you have two choices. If you don't agree with that principle, just like on Purim, most of us do not agree with that principle, and that's why on Purim we want to go say that the 10 sons of Haman ourselves, B'Neshima Achas, then what do? Then you have to do one of two things. Either you have to stand. You have to stand for Kriya Satorah. Or you have to assume that Kriya Satorah is not a reenactment of Matan Torah. Whoever told you that Kriya Satorah is a reenactment? Kriya Satorah is Talmud Torah Derabim. V'zehu. Now there is one part of laning that you do have to actually stand, which then many people do not do. And that is when the person who gets the Eliyah says, Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevarach. When you respond, Baruch Hashem HaMevarach, Le'olam Bo'ed, you're obligated to stand up. Yes. And after he finishes reciting, saying, Baruch Hashem HaMevarach, Le'olam Bo'ed, now there's another level. Do you have to remain standing for the full blessing? Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ho'amim, the Birchas HaTorah. Because the Birchas HaTorah is the Birchas HaMitzvois, like we learned yesterday. It's the Baruch on the Mitzvah. a bracha in the midst of Talmud Torah, you have to stand. I'm not making the bracha. It's his problem, not my problem. So some say, well, everyone here in the shul has an obligation of Zayin Oilam. There are seven people that are called to lain. And there's a mitzvah that there should be seven people called to lain from the Torah, and they all make a bracha, and their bracha is your bracha.
The original bracha was one of the...
So Meir is saying something very good. Meir is saying, who says that what I just said is correct? Maybe the original way when they made brachas was they made the bracha Rishayna for the first oiler.
Right.
The one that got cut in was he made the bracha, and the bracha Acharayna was said by the Mach Shvi. So we don't do that today.
That's why you can't force me to get up in the middle.
Okay, so then you can argue that at least for the Kohen's first bracha, right, you should stand, and for the Mafter's last bracha, you should stand. Or you're going to say that the very fact that today everyone makes a separate bracha goes to show that no, each of the brachas, to make a bracha levatol is not a simple matter. The fact that it has evolved in such a way where every single person makes their own bracha means that's the way we do it today. There are seven blessings, and each blessing is a brachas mitzvah, and each one has to be heard properly by the tzibur. It has to even be said by the tzibur. And since the brachas mitzvah, you have to stand. Unless you want to come back to the other principle, that when you're coming to be yoytze with Shomei HaKoineh doesn't just capture the actual bracha itself, it captures the method in which the bracha was said. If the one that got the Aliyah said the bracha standing, so when I sit down and I listen to the bracha, it's as if I said the bracha standing. How far does Shomei HaKoineh go? There is no answer to this. Okay, the Achilu Kideyas, you're not going to get an answer. Some say, L'chatchila b'dievel, L'chatchila do it yourself. L'chatchila do not assume that Shomei HaKoineh can capture the method. It only fulfills the words. And therefore stand. You need to be yotze seven blessings. If you need to be yotze seven blessings, so you listen to the seven blessings and stand. Because Shomei HaKoineh cannot achieve the standing. If you want to be Mekel, okay, so you're Mekel. You're going to say that once I hear make the bracha, it's as if I made the bracha, and he made it standing, so it's as if I made it standing. It's exactly the same point. So therefore, you have the whole dilemma. What exactly is Kriyas HaTorah, a reenactment? Is it, and that's for the layman. Baruch Hu, there's no room to wiggle. Everyone says, when you respond, Baruch Hashem HaMevoyroch Le'olam Voed, that is your response. You are praising Hashem. When a person recites Baruch Hu, when you recite Baruch Hu after Yishtabach, Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavarach, and you respond Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Vo'ed, the halacha demands you say it's standing. That's etched in stone.
Also, you're not allowed to sit down until you hear the answer.
What answer?
Till the chazan.
But the chazan responds, and you answer amen. He responds, Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu. Correct, correct. It's correct. The entire thing, you have to answer amen. The proper thing Mishnah Berurah says is to answer amen. The Chazan says, Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavarach, and the Tzibur answers, Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Vo'ed, and then the Shliach Tzibur repeats, Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Vo'ed, and the audience says, Amen.
Then
you can sit down. That entire section must be done standing. That's the way it is. That's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. That's the way it's meant to be done. Why? You're praising Hashem. It's part of the davening. That's how it was established. You must stand. And that same exact rule applies to any time you say Baruch Hu, by Ma'ariv and by Kriyas HaTorah. So seven times during laning, you have to stand. What about the blessings? Tough question. Me'ikar HaDin, you really should be standing because it's a Birchos HaMitzvah. When you recite in the morning, Birchos HaTorah in the morning, Shach, to wake up in the morning, and you say Birchos HaTorah, you're supposed to stand. Because it's a Birchos HaMitzvah. And Birchos HaMitzvah are said standing. There's no, that's a basic rule. So when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it's also the Birchos HaMitzvah and Torah, you're supposed to stand. Now the only dilemma, the only leniency you can apply is Shomei HaKoineh achieves the standing for me as well. I'm not making the blessings. He's making the blessing. So his blessing was made standing. So it's as if I said the blessing standing. And then the third part is the laning itself. Why should I stand for the laning? Should I not stand for the laning? So again, is it a reenactment of Matan Torah? Is it Talmud Torah? Is it a reenactment of Talmud Torah? Or is it Talmud Torah Berabin, which I don't have to stand? Now there is such a thing, and this is one of the very famous letters of Rav Chutner. There's a very, one of those coffee book table books about famous letters, famous speeches, famous places, famous people. So one of the famous letters, I believe, or the famous speech is there certain rules that apply in the yeshivas that do not apply in a regular shul? He writes about this. A yeshiva is a makom of higher standards, not necessarily higher standards in halach. It's a very powerful letter. Very powerful concept. A yeshiva, it's very, very true. A yeshiva is a yeshiva. A yeshiva, it's not a matter of halacha. It's a matter of an appreciation of higher standards. And one of the higher standards is, Rav Huna writes about, he gives this as the example of a dogma of what it means in the yeshiva, there are higher standards. He says in the yeshivas, the minig is to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Is there a halacha to stand? There's no halacha. There's no halacha to stand. The Gra himself sat. The Gra sat for Kriyas HaTorah. The Rambam paskins, you should sit, you sit for Kriyas HaTorah. Well, you need someone bigger than the Rambam. You need someone bigger than the Vilna Gaon. You don't need anyone bigger than them. If it was good enough for them to sit, you can sit. So why then in the yeshivas do you stand? What, we're more religious than the Gra and the Rambam?
Maybe.
No, not maybe. Not maybe. And the answer is, the Gra and the Rambam, the Gra did not daven in the yeshiva. He davened in a private minyan. The Rambam was running for the Hamoinam. In the yeshiva is a marker. That's true also.
My voice is stood all the time, but the last time I jumped with him every day, he was maybe 70. You know.
Yeah, so and he stood. He was very
mocking. He ran back to his seat to look at his safe.
He writes here in this little contrast.
In between the Mishbera.
Moish was very understanding. He was very mocking.
He jumped up by Barfu. He literally jumped out of his seat and ran to the Bible.
All the times he's supposed to stand up, Moish, Mamish, until Soif Yamut, very, very young, was very mocking on these things. On standing and sitting, everything should be done right, correctly. But, so I'm not making this up, I'm just telling you, and this became a very famous, that's why it's in the book, it became a very famous letter where Rav Huna says, look around, look at all of the yeshivas. It's true, in all of the yeshivas, except where I daven, they don't. I daven in the yeshiva, they all sit, but in all yeshivas, they stand! They talk us in all shuls, what? Litvish yeshivas, they all stand. Why do they stand? Why? What's the purpose? We just went through all the reasons why you don't have to stand. We can figure everything out. The answer is, yeshiva is a place where you learn Torah. That's what yeshiva is for. Yeshiva is a time in your life. Young students, they are molded in the ways of the study of Torah. And part of that is to have a yiras haroimimus, to have an awe for Torah, and that awe somehow it demands an extra over the top respect of you stand for Kriyas, the reading the Torah, you stand for the reading of the Torah. And this is not halacha. This is just what is done. Okay, whether you like it or not, that's the reality.
It's not because they're reading the Torah; it's because the Torah is open.
Open doesn't matter what you say. Once the Torah reaches the bima, it's in its own rishus. Once the Torah reaches the bima, you don't have to stand anymore. It's its own rishus.
That's part of their.
Okay, the right. So Rav Huna writes, it's not halacha. It is not a matter of halacha at all. It's just a matter of. Ye of awe. That's all it is. And it's a matter of awe that is done. Minig is a very dangerous word. Because the minog, there are different types of minhagim. There are minhag because minig is halacha. Minig is oiker halacha. This is not oiker halacha. You can't call this a minog. Standing for Kriyas HaTorah in Yeshiva, you cannot call a minig. Because a minig is a word which is a powerful word. It's a word, minigus oiker halacha. Okay, what is called nal, what's called, there are two words for shoes. Minigus is a scary word. You can't play around. You should really make a bracha on a minig. Halal, reciting halal on Rosh Chodesh. Why do you recite halal on Rosh Chodesh? Chatzi halal, where does that come from? It's not a yomtiv, it's a minog. You make a bracha. Asher kiddushana b'mitzvahs v'mitzvahna l'koyas ha. How does that? That's right. A minug is sacred. You can make a bracha. On Chanukah, you light Chanukah neiros in the Beis HaKnesses. Where does that come from? It's ner ishu beisah. It's a minug. And you make a bracha? That's right. You make a bracha. Minug is a very powerful word. Standing for laning in a yeshiva is not, you can't call that a minhag, because that was a minhag, you'd be giving it way, way too much power. It is something that is just done. That's why
I couldn't. Also, the minhag is now more than 250 years old.
Which minhag? In the yeshiva, from Volozhin. Yeah. Volozhin, all right, 100%. That's why this letter, that's exactly what this letter was just trying to explain. That's what this, it's a very interesting hashkafic letter about Orthodox Judaism. So I'm just saying, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah standing is a world in and of itself. There are really three elements to the, there's even really more when you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron. Think about that. There's a halacha that when the Sefer Torah is in motion, you have to stand, respect. You have to stand. When the Sefer Torah is not in its mokoyim, then you have to stand. Why do you have to stand? Out of respect. Or is it more out of commiserate? The Sefer Torah is in Golus. Sefer Torah is moving from place to place. That's like when Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert. Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin. It's not in its place. You have to compensate for its disgrace. Think it. The standing for a Sefer Torah when it's taken out of the Aron is an extremely complicated principle. Is it because you're giving it kavod, or is it because you're coming to compensate for its disgrace? It's a very big difference. Really, there's no need to stand for the Sefer Torah. Stand for the Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah. But the Sefer Torah now is in a state of bizoyon because it's in motion. You know, the Sefer Torah shouldn't be in motion. Me'ikar hadin, the Sefer Torah should be on the beam of 24/7. That's how it should. You keep the maker. There was never a plan that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to come bring down the luchas, to get the first luchas, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make an aron. For the second luchas, Hashem told him in advance make an aron. For the first luchas, there's no aron. So Moshe was going to come down with the luchas. He's holding the luchas in his hands. He's coming down in Hashemayim before he saw the eagle. What was he planning to do with the luchas? There's no box. There's no aron hakodesh. You're going to come with the luchas. You're going to put it down on the bima, and that's where it's going to be 24/7. Anyone can come up and take a look at it. It's because Klal Yisrael diminish their spiritual standing before Hashem by worshiping. We're not worthy that the luchos should just stand there on the bima exposed 24/7. We're not worthy of that. So we have to go and we have to put it away in hiding to protect it, because we are the problem. So now, when we want to read, we have to take it out and expose it. Mavaza the Sefer Torah. Oh, Mavaza the Sefer Torah. We have to take away its disgrace by standing. So here's the dilemma. When the aron is open and you take out the aron and you stand, when you take your move, is it because you're giving kavod to the Sefer Torah? Or is it because you are coming to minimize, to compensate for its bizoyon? Now, by the way, when the aron is open, Avinu Malkeinu, the aron is open, and Shul, Meikar Hadin, you don't have to stand. Meikar Hadin. Why? Because it's in its own reshus. It's its own box. The minhag, it's a minhag. I don't know if you want to call it a minhag, but on the yamim noiroyim, ne'ilah, you open up the aron, you stand. Avinu Malkeinu, you stand. By the way, why do you stand for Avinu Malkeinu? Are you standing for Avinu Malkeinu because they opened up the aron, or you're standing for Avinu Malkeinu when it's in its own right? L'may nafkamina, you don't have a Sefer Torah. You're in a shul, or you're diving at a home b'yechidus. If you're diving b'yechidus, you can say kol hakavod, you can say Avinu Malkeinu. If you're davening b'yechidus, and I believe you don't have to stand. The only reason why we stand for Avinu Malkeinu, it says over here, is because of the order of the Aron HaKodesh. So if you're saying Avinu Malkeinu at home alone, you don't have to stand. The only reason why we stand for Avinu Malkeinu is because we order of the Aron HaKodesh, respect for the Sefer Torah. Let's say you can't stand. There's no chiddush because it's on reshus. It's a chavivus that we all stand if we can for open the door. So sach hakol, many things, but listen, the Kriyas HaTorah. What?
Simchas Torah with this.
We're doing HaKafes. So this is a very, very good shayla. So Simchas HaTorah with the doing HaKafes. So I had some really good stuff which I don't remember from Nitzan Gavriel. Heterim. What are the heterim on Simchas Torah to sit during HaKafes when the Sefer Torah is going around? He had some very interesting solution there.
You go to the back.
You don't even see
it. He said
something. I don't know. He said something amazing. And it was a very interesting idea. He said, "I had to. Why you don't have to? I don't." There were gedolei Yisrael that were very nakpid on this. Whenever the Sefer Torah was in motion, it always has to be in motion. If someone is just holding the Sefer Torah, then you don't have to, the nikra, then they're standing. It could be that when they're going around in a circle, that is considered to be its oimed de mekoimai. Me'ikar hadin, the only time you need to stand is when you're transporting a Sefer Torah. When we take the Sefer from the Oroin to the Bima, it is in motion, there's a destination. Hakafas, maybe this is what you said, the nikra really brought down. Hakafas, there's no destination. Where are you going? Where are you going? You're going nowhere. You're going in circles. There's no destination. So even though it's going in circles, in halacha, it is considered that it's oimed bimekoimai. That's its place. If you take it from the oroin to the bima, ooh, vayehi binisoya ha'oroin, vayoyme moisha, kuma Hashem, word kuma, that's what you darshan, kuma. When it's in motion, you have to stand. You took out the Sefer Torah. We're not laning now. We're going to lane later. Or maybe we won't even lane. We're going to put it back. Right now, at this moment, Hakafa Aleph, it's going in circles. It's in halacha considered to be oimed b'mekoymai. Okay. When it's in the Aron, it's certainly in its own rishos. When it's resting on the beam, it's its own rishos. So think about it. When we lay in a hagba, what about hagba? Do you stand for hagba? You certainly do. There is a hakpada for hagba. You have to stand. You have to stand. A hagba is also then. Do you pull with your finger? Ooh, this is a complicated topic. Do you point? No. Kiddushol, does Kiddushol not say the point?
No.
Ask people at. Baruch Hashem, we're older people. Ask anybody when they grew up, did anybody point with their finger?
No.
No point?
No.
There are makaras for this. No, there are makaras.
Which neighborhood and which
There are Mekaris the point. Okay. No.
Right.
It's not common today.
When you pointed a finger, it was a negative thing.
It's not common.
Maybe that's why you pinky. Okay.
It's not common. It's definitely not common. But it is not unheard of. Okay?
Maybe that's why the Sfardim do it before lighting. Not after.
They do something else. They kiss the Torah from the air. Noyagin Shah, Mukhuba Hagba, Menashik, Sasa, 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 Sasa,
Sasa,
Sasa, Sasa, Sasa, Sasa, Sasa, Hagba, the minig is, let me read you what it says over here about Hagba. When you do Hagba, does the tzibur have to stand for Hagba? So let me read you what it says over here. Okay, Ha'il the Torah, B'shat tzibur, B'shat goymel, at tzibur kisho oisin Hagba, king the shar hatzion. Okay, this is in the Mishnah Berurah, he says you're supposed to stand. It's the only place it says it. The shar hatzion, Sivin Kuf Membov, Sivkon Yudches, you're supposed to live, but think about it. When we lane, you take out, there are so many critical moments, there's so much lumdus in the standing in that part of davening. When they open up the Aron HaKodesh, do you have to stand? Let's say you have a shul where they say Brich Shmei, they don't take out the Sefer Torah until they say Brich Shmei. So it's a long process. They open up the Aron. First they sing Ein Kamoch, Baruch Hashem, V'Ein Kamasech. All right, they sing Ein Kamoch, and then they sing Vayhi Bin Soya. They open up the Aron, and then they sing Brich Shmei. Takes a very long time, and during that time, the Sefer Torah is resting very quietly and safely in the Aron HaKodesh.
According to some, that is the halacha is supposed to stay in there.
when you're saying Bir Shemay, once you take it out, it's a machlokes. Once you take it out,
right, so most shuls, no, 95% of the shuls do not take it out. They right. Especially those who sing. That's what it says in the English art scroll sitter. In Rav Moshe says in the Hebrew art scroll sitter to take it out. Okay, there's a contradiction in the instructions in the English art scroll sitter and the Hebrew art scroll sitter.
It was effective because they put the Bir Shemay inside the door so the guy could read
in
it.
In the English art scroll sitter, the instructions are to keep the Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh through the conclusion of Bir Shemay. In the Hebrew art scroll sitter, on the page they cite the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe says the correct thing to do is to take out the Sefer Torah immediately and give it to the Shliach Tzibur, and the Shliach Tzibur holds it while he recites Brich Shmei from beginning to end. The only place that I saw them do this meticulously is in Eretz Yisrael in the Mir Yeshiva. In Yerushalayim, that's the only place I saw them. In every other shul that I've seen, they either don't know what they're doing, or when in the Young Israels, where they do it with a ceremony, a beautiful ceremony, it's no klenikite. It's a very beautiful ceremony.
Like
Halavai the Yeshivas, they have a ceremony. It's a big thing. Okay, the Young Israels, a beautiful, tremendous schus. Kavod HaTorah. They sing Ein Kamoich, and then they sing Vayehi Ben Soya. And then they sing Brich Shmei. It takes a good 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then they take it out.
Hey,
and then they put the Kesser. They put the Kesser on the Sefer Torah. And then a very dignified way they say Shema Yisrael. And they turn around and they say Galah. No one even knows why. Do you face the oil of a Shema Yisrael? And do you turn around for Galah? Doesn't that's also a big mystery why you turn
it
up?
It says it somewhere that that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what the Oilam does. Oilam does that. Whatever reason. Hanach Lohem Ali Yisrael. This whole process in a real shul can take about 15 minutes. And then they sing Lecha Hashem HaGedula until they bring it, then they go all the way around the whole bima. Everyone has an opportunity. Chaviva Satoira, Chaviva Satoira. They kiss the Sefer Torah and the rabbi follows behind and the president follows. What's so bad? The Tanu Kavala Torah, the Mechabed the Rav, everyone shakes the rabbi's hands. Everyone, some people they kiss the rabbi. Some people on Shabbos, they give the rabbi some money. And the president gets all the abuse. You good for nothing, right? And the president goes all the way around. It's a ceremony.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Assumptions in the weekdays they don't even say Brich Shmei.
That's that the Iker Brich Shmei was composed for Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha is the Iker Zman to recite Brich Shmei. Rava de Rava. People fell in love with it. They started saying it on Shabbos, and then they started saying it during the week. Today, it doesn't seem like people are in that same honeymoon period. But in any event, you're right. Okay, there are many, many minhagei Yisrael. It is a tremendous chus. The Young Israel, when I grew up with Young Israel, I'm worried that I'll never in my life see again such a beautiful ceremony of how they did. The mechabe, the Sefer Torah, that ceremony of taking out the Sefer Torah. It's a beautiful.
KJ and we did, they don't say it virtually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, whatever. And you know, and then from Chaim Berlin, so someone asked the Rosh Hashiva, how come you, first of all, Chaim takes a very long time, there's a stage. It takes a long time to go up the steps, to open the arms, open the big doors, to take the right hand there, to come all the way down the steps and give it to the person. The amount of time that it takes to do that in the average shul, they can say Brich Shmei five times. So someone once said to the Rosh Hashiva, how come in Yeshiva we don't say Brich Shmei? So he says to him, who says we don't? Who says we don't? And he thought this, the Yeshiva says it.
Right.
The Yeshiva says it. Well, the only thing is, they don't finish off. The Shatz doesn't finish off the last words of Brich Shmei. So it seems like they don't say it. So there's plenty of time over here. What are we so twiddling your thumbs over here? They start, they say Chatzai Kaddish. He goes up. So what are you going to do? Well, you have something better to do. So say Brich Shmei. What, you got a problem? You have an objection? So the Shiva says it. So someone says, how come they don't say Brich Shmei? Who says we don't say it? Gesund de Heid, say it. I say it, you can also say it. So we don't finish off? No, I don't know why. For some reason we don't. For some reason we don't.
Not only did you say it, but if you didn't say it, you didn't get a chance to say it when they took out the Sefer Torah, you should say it
later on. Right, excellent. Right. Okay, so I just want to conclude. The point we want to make over here is that when you take out the Sefer Torah, there is jam-packed lomdis of every single step of the way, standing and sitting, standing for the Sefer Torah. When you open up the Aron, you don't have to. It's in its own rishus, but yet there is. It's less than a custom. There's an inyan, we'll call it, to stand. When they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, then you must stand. Why? It's in motion. Why are you standing? Either, number one, Kavod HaTorah, the real Kavod HaTorah, or to be memayed, it's Bezoyin. Because it's now being moved, and that's not the way it was meant to be. You have to take away it's the Bezoyin by giving it Kavod. It's a different type of Kavod. You bring it to the, you put it down on the bima, you don't have to stand anymore. Now when you say Baruch Hu, you're required to stand for Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Hashem, you have to stand for that. That's part of davening. Bracha, Birchas HaMitzvos. Ooh, now you get involved in the Shaila, Shomea Ke'oineh for Birchas HaMitzvos. And as Meir mentioned, whoever says you have to say all the brachas, just only one bracha, beginning and the end, who says you have to make a bracha altogether? And then you get, then in part three, the Kriya, the Baal Kriya who reads the Torah, do you have to stand for that? Is this a reenactment of Matan Torah? Could we rely upon Shomea Ke'oineh to stand? Is this just Talmud Torah Derabim where you don't have to stand? Or is there an inyan? I was trained as a yeshiva bracha, you stand. Is there an inyan? Then what comes next? Hagba, you mechuyev to stand. Why you mechuyev to stand? Not because of bezoyin. It's because of Kavod HaTorah. Bezoyis HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah, you have to stand. It's not like part of davening. And then when you bring it back, again, it's in motion, you have to stand. So there's this jam-packed lundus, all the lundus, Shemei Ka'oineh, Kavod HaTorah in Indian, part of Dari, there's a Baruch Hu. There's a lot of lundus in every step, movement, it's motion, Kavod, Bezoyim, every step of the way from the Torah, they open the yard until you put it back. We have, you're going up and down, up and down, up and down, and each step of the way has its own Shulchan Aruch and its own set of lundus. Okay, stop here.
You said I'll be the Ashmeer Bobby.